These men are evil. They are evil. It isn't millionaires that are stupid enough to do this most of the time. Now, we have this fellow who bailed out Oral Roberts. But most millionaires are not millionaires because of this stupid. Poor people. That's where they get the money from, poor people. The other morning, just a few days ago, I caught Paula White. Just taking a little coffee break, going to see what was on the news, and sometimes I start at the bottom and just flip, and I came across Paula White. And she had somebody on there, this whole thing, send me your money, give me your money, send me your money. And so she came up with something, I don't know what it was, but it was like everybody send, $108 for the year 2008, or $60, or $50, or $100, or whatever. And so she, it was kind of funny. Hi, Tabby. She said, whatever you can do, if you send, $20 or $50, and then she said, or $1,000. Oh, just kidding, she said, just kidding. Something like that. I thought it was kind of cute. Just kidding. No, she wasn't. Here's a state official in one of these things I read before. I don't know which one it was, but he said, if I were a con man and wanted to make a lot of money, I'd set up a scam and call it a religion. Then nobody could look at my books. And if people say I'm a crook, I'd just say, stay out of my business. You're violating my rights under the First Amendment. There it is. There's from a, I don't know, California state official. I don't know what his name was. I started to look up some of these others, and there's so much junk you got to go through. I did catch this on Jerry Falwell, though. He was accused some time back of raising $6 million for refugees in northern Thailand. But all the records that anybody could find is he sent $150,000 out of the $6 million. So I don't know if it's true or not. I saw it on the internet, okay? Same thing, I saw this with Polatine Fathers. That's an order, I guess, in Baltimore. They raised $20 million in contributions to support Polatine missions in undeveloped countries around the world in 1976. However, it was disclosed that the Polatine order had spent less than 4 cents on the dollar for missionary work. 4 cents on the dollar. Robert Shuler. I just thought this was funny. He was campaigning to help the physically, spiritually, and starved people of China. So his organization published a newsletter where he's standing in front of the wall of China. Shuler praised his supporters for sending him to China and encouraged them to continue to help the relief program. So he's standing in front of the wall of China telling the people, thank you for supporting, we're helping all these starving people here in China. He stated that he had a number of highly successful meetings with Chinese personalities whose names were supposed to be kept confidential to protect them from persecution. However, an aide to Shuler during the drive, which raised $1.6 million, recently revealed that Shuler actually composed a letter in his aide's living room here in the United States, and that the picture of Shuler at the Great Wall was taken in the studio in the United States. I mean, lying. Listen, when these people will just lie through their teeth on international television, you can't trust or believe anything they say or do. Now, here's another thing. I see these things. I don't know the names of them all. Feed the Children, Vision, World Vision, Children's Relief Fund. There's a bunch of them. And they show these pathetic situations with children starving, skin and bones, can't even lift up their heads, and so on and so forth. They really play on your sympathy and so on. But yet, similar charges have been leveled at other leading televangelists and relief organizations, such as the International Christian Aid, World Vision, and others. Christian Aid is the largest Christian television fundraising organization, repeatedly been accused of making misleading solicitations and employing suspect accounting practices. With $237 million in annual donations, World Vision has started a number of subsidiary groups such as Black American Response to the African Crisis that reportedly are simply fronts for the main organization. World Vision has even used the programs of other relief organizations to generate contributions to its own organization. You know, I've heard different organizations over the years tell about an orphanage that they have in Haiti, okay? And I've already speculated whether or not there really is not an orphanage in Haiti that maybe has 10 kids or something, and it's supported by 200 or 300 religions in America. In other words, you send them a dollar, they'll verify the fact that you send money to their organization, to their orphanage. I have a suspicion about that. If I had the time and money, you know, if I were Bill Gates, I would get a team of investigative reporters on that today. I just don't believe any of these people and what they say they do. ICA has come under attack as well. In 1984, they ran a 49 commercials on cable television network appealing for donations to help the relief efforts in Ethiopia. There is no evidence, however, of any CIA program in Ethiopia. One of these feed the children things, about a year ago, they had this thing where they had 5,000 tons of grain, I believe it was, 5,000 tons of grain in the, I don't know, Singapore or someplace, and they had to get it. It's free, they owned it. I mean, this food is free now, just to give away. But they had to get it to Africa or some other port. And so they send money so they could pay the shipping to get this food. I mean, that's a nice little ploy, isn't it? And isn't they asking you to buy the food? They already have the food, and they're going to give it away for nothing. Oh, but they have to get it from one place to where it's needed. They ran that ad for like one solid year. I mean, I don't know where that grain was, but it was probably starting to rot. I mean, that is nonsense that you run that ad for 1 year and they still didn't get the grain over there. Didn't I tell you that, hon? I said, that's the same ad was on for a year. Liars. T.D. Jakes. Now, I'm going to say this. Keep your eye on T.D. Jakes. Does anybody in this room know anything about the background of Billy Graham and how he got to be kind of the America's minister to the world? Does anybody know how that happened? Does anybody think that happened on his own efforts? Well, I maybe on my favorites, I have like 100-page article fully documented on just who Billy Graham is and where he came from and who was involved. I mean, really high places in making this man what he was. In the same way, I'm reading about Jimmy Carter. Now, there was no way in Hades this peanut farmer from Georgia would ever be president of the United States. This is like an impossibility. But there were others that wanted him to be president. And apparently, there are powers that are more influential than maybe we realize. And so, I put the picture on here because here's T.D. Jakes on the cover of Time magazine. And it says, is this man the next Billy Graham? What do they mean by that? Well, there's a meaning to that that I don't think hardly anybody who read the headlines on time have any inkling as to what is meant by that. Now, I'm just going to leave it at that. You just see what happens in the years to come. Just see what happens. One woman sent me an email who went to a T.J. Jakes convention once, and there's all these empty seats. She went to sit down. Somebody ushered her. I said, "You can't sit there." "Why not?" She said, "Well, these are the best seats in the house. These are reserved for those that would give really big donations." The woman sent me an email explaining that, how she got disenchanted with it. James 2, 1 to 8 talks about having respect to persons. Said you see somebody with rich array and apparel and a big ring. Sit here in the chief seat. And somebody else, sit back in the corner. You know, James said, that's wrong. Don't do that. I listened to part of a video in this next thing here. T.G. Jake says, this is a TBN telethon. And he's talking about when this man lost his axe head, remember? And it went down in the water, and then Elisha caused it to float back up, and he retrieved it for him, and he was talking on that. And he said, God said, I don't need anything you lost to bless you. This is what he's saying at his telethon. Okay, I don't need anything you lost to bless you. God will always use whatever you got left. The blessing isn't in what you lost. The blessing is what you got left. And if you will sow what you got left, God said, I will give you back whatever it was. Whatever you lost in your life through foolishness, bad business deals, or had stolen, whatever, give me all that you have. I'll give you all that you lost. Can you believe this? I mean, this is vile. And then he went on to promise, you know, mothers would, you know, their children would get off of drugs and they'd all be healed and they'd all this stuff would come. Just give me all you got. Jakes, too, lives in a multi-million dollar mansion in a ritzy neighborhood. $3,000 suits. And Paula White, this is Paula White's, guru pastor. And so she bought him recently for his birthday, I guess, a brand new Rolls-Royce convertible. Now, I could go through dozens and dozens of these. I threw in the Worldwide Church of God here because, you know, they were, Attorney General Barmakian put them in receivership back when I was doing my thing with them. And Stanley Rader turned around and sued the state of California for $700 million. And I heard he had four law firms, one in Beverly Hills, one in Houston, one in Boston, what, four different law firms just went after them like wild tigers to the point where they dropped it. I mean, they felt they would not prevail against him. $700 million is what he was asking for in damages. So one of the officials said, California legislator bowed to the public pressure and prohibited future lawsuits of this kind. In passing the bill, the state legislator explained that, quote, if we have a choice of keeping the state out of the legitimate affairs of churches or let some charlatans get away with fraud, I'd rather do the latter. So that thing back there with the Worldwide Church of God was bigger than we might realize. It was a precedent that said, from now on, we're not going after these these charlatan churches, these frauds. It's better that we let them alone than to appear that we're coming down on religious organizations and so on overall. So, I mean, doesn't it go without saying that these people lust for materialism and lust for manna and lust for money and power and fame and all of this? I mean, it goes without saying, doesn't it? When you are this exaggerated in how much money and wealth and stuff you think you need. Now, what does the Bible have to say about that? Paul said, I'm reading from the Concordant, "For we are not as the majority who are peddling," and the Greek means a huckster, "to retail for inflated prices to overcharge the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God in Christ, are we speaking." So Paul was saying the majority are hucksters, selling, peddling, huckstering, overcharging to make money on the word of God. All of these ministries are geared for money. They all sell and merchandise what they consider the word of God. All of them. All of them sell it. And they make, it's just a giant, giant business. I have the thing on Pastor Hagee. I don't know where I slipped that in. He was paid this is 2004, $371,000 as senior pastor of Cornerstone Church, and $949,000 as president of Global Evangelism Television. That's a pretty hefty salary, isn't it? Now, in 1 Timothy 2, 6-11, we read this. "For the love of money is, it should be a root of all evil." The American Standard has all kinds of evil. Concordant has all of the evils. Rotherham has all of the vices. Okay? "Which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But you, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, goodness, faith, love, and patience." I am just amazed how many people write me and say, "Oh, Ray, you're just jealous. You wish you had all that money." No. God cursed the day that I ever want to have tens of millions of dollars. And I just don't want it. I don't want to be tempted by it. I mean, I'm happy to just be able to pay my bills and have enough food to eat and clothing to wear and all of that. I mean, I just, not only don't I need it, I don't want it. So, the love of money is a root, a cause of all evils, all kinds of evils, all of the vices. Do these people not love money? I mean, how could anybody even insinuate for a second they're not in love with money and power and fame and fortune and materialism? They flaunt it. Rolls Royces. Creflo Dollar and his Bentleys. How many of you have ever seen a picture of Creflo Dollar's house? It's so big, it's grotesque. I mean, it kind of looks like a modernized version of Disney's castle. What is the name of that castle? Fairyland Castle or whatever. I mean, it is just humongous. It's obscene. Not that there aren't some people that maybe could have a house like that if they work their whole life and they entertain a lot and they produce a lot of good for humanity. These are people who have stolen from the poor. Fraudulently. under a threat of burning in hell for all eternity, many of them. This is really sick. It doesn't get much worse than this. Romans 6:16. Know you not that whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are, to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. When politicians investigate you for being immoral, you know that you're pretty close to the bottom of the barrel. Now, some people have said, but you can have these things and still love and serve God. In other words, indicating that these ministers, they all have their jets, they all have their multi-mansions, they all have their, you know, huge cars, huge bank accounts, huge expense. They all have that, but they can have that and serve God too. No, they can't. You can say that, but it's not true. And we have skipped scripture to prove it. They devote themselves to money. If Joyce Myers was involved in saving people from the fires of hell to the extent that she would have you think, she wouldn't have time to spend $900,000 on clothing and all kinds of junk every year. Matthew 6:24. So can you serve all of this and yet serve God and everything on the side? Jesus, I put this in red. I don't normally like to use a lot of colors, but I put this scripture in red so you'd all know Jesus Christ said this. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. People forget that these scriptures are even in the Bible. They forget. They say, oh, Ray, do you mean this applies? Applies to them? It's talking about them. Notice it. There's a lot more being said here. You will either hold to the one and despise the other. The only way these people can love their money, fame, fortune, power, and everything else is to despise the Word of God, which teaches totally against it. So when somebody's heart... See, it's one thing to be a successful businessman and make money. It's another thing to steal from poor people under fraudulent conditions and threats of fear and promises of greed. These people know psychology. If you want to get somebody to do things, frighten them into it or appeal to their greed. One or the other will get the job done. You know, this thing used to go around back in the 50s and 60s. You'd hear people trying it from time to time. Someone could come up to you and say, I found a purse. It's got a lot of money in it. Tens of thousands of dollars. And I'm willing to share it with you. But I have to know that I can trust you. If you give me $500, I'll share it with you. That is so stupid. I mean... there isn't anybody ignorant enough that has ever lived to fall for that. And yet people fell for it by the hundreds and thousands. The police would have to put out, you know, what, I don't know what they call them, you know, on television, radio. Don't fall for these gimmicks. Why would people fall for something so stupid? Greed. Their mind is thinking thousands of dollars for only 500. When your greed takes over, your sanity says goodbye. Your rationale is gone out the window. And so I really don't feel too sorry for any of those people, because they thought they were going to get a lot for nothing. It cost them 500 for nothing. I put it twice because this, you know, Luke says the same thing. You cannot serve God and man. Oh, yes, you can. You know, you can just thank God. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord, for all the millions, millions of jets, cars, you know, and everything else. And, you know, but it's not all just materialism. You know, there's more than one website that will tell you different ministers who travel the world preaching the gospel and have a whore in every port. And I'm not insinuating that these people, you know, these more famous ones, do that or have that. I'm just saying it's been suggested numerous times, and we know that many of them fall prey to not only just the you know, the money and stuff, but sex and things like drugs and stuff enters into this usually too. Mammon is a Chaldee word meaning confidence in wealth. Not just wealth, confidence in wealth. Okay? Strong says avarice. Avarice means greedy, an immoderate desire for wealth. Cupidity. What is cupidity? Excessive desire for wealth. Covetousness. And what is covetousness? Jeremiah 6:13. For from the least of them unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. And who do you think he's talking about here? From the prophet even unto the priest, they all deal falsely. Jesus Christ said, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. And yet, you watch these people and they want the things that they can possess. That's covetousness. What does Paul have to say about covetousness? Galatians 3:5. Mortify, therefore, the members of your body upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. So what happens when you have as your goal, like so many of these preachers do? I mean, all of their sermon. I mean, tell me the next time you hear a sermon by Creflo Dollar that doesn't have as its main message, send me your money. Covetousness is idolatry. Idolatry is worshiping idols, false gods. Luke, 1 John 2:15, 16. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Why? If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father. All of this stuff, it's not of God. And if you give to it, you're not supporting God. It's not of God. Sowing spiritual seed. In Matthew 13:37, Jesus answered and said unto them, he that sows the good seed is the Son of Man. That's Jesus Christ. He's the good sower. Now, what is the good seed? Mark 4:14. Sower sows the word. Let's go there. I want to read a couple verses. Mark 4:14. The sower sows the word. And there are those that fell by the wayside, and there are those likewise that fell upon stony ground and have no root in themselves. Verse 18, and there are those which are sown among the thorns, which as they hear the word and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things, the deceitfulness of riches and the deceit of other things enter in, they choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. What has happened to these preachers who have become so wealthy by peddling the word of God for exorbitant prices? It has choked the word of God in them, and they are now unprofitable servants. And these are they which are sown in good ground, such as hear the word and receive it. Where are these seeds sown? In the forms of $1,000 bills into the pockets of charlatan ministers? No. This is the word of God being sown into your good soil, yourself. Not some fake minister. Good ground, which as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold and some 60 and some 100. It's not talking about crops. It's not talking about peaches or avocados. This is talking about what's being sown. The Word of God is sown into different categories of people. What happens when the Word of God is sown into people who become filthy rich? It chokes the Word. And they become unprofitable. You have two classes here. You have the elect, just like all parables. The elect, and you have the many called, and the many called's ministers. Virtually all the scriptures in the Bible that talk about sowing seed, and so on, are almost always talking about the natural. Literally, sowing seeds in earth, soil, and reaping a harvest of actual, literal food. But there are a number that use it in a spiritual application, and I'm going to look through a couple of them. Job 4:8. Even as I have seen, they that plow iniquity, of course this is, you know, the metaphor, plow iniquity, sow wickedness, reap the same. As you sow, so shall you reap. If you plow into the ground and sow wickedness, you're going to reap wickedness. Hosea. No, sow to yourself. What? I thought you'd just give your seed to some charlatan minister. No. Sow to yourself in righteousness. Reap in mercy. Break up the fallow ground for the time... For it is the time to seek the Lord till He come and rain righteousness upon you. Where do you see any application of giving your money to some lying charlatan in any of these scriptures? Proverbs 22:8. He that sows iniquity shall reap vanity, and the rod of his anger shall fail. Isaiah 55:10. For as the rain comes down, and the snow from heaven, and returns not thither, but waters the earth, and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. Now this has both a physical and a spiritual application there. If you literally sow, you know, good seed and good ground, you'll get plenty to eat. And it will give seed back to the sower to do it again. And this, of course, is a spiritual application. But it's always talking about righteousness and doing right, not stealing money from widows. 2 Corinthians 9:10-11. Now he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruit of your righteousness. Now here's a spiritual application. but it has nothing whatsoever to do with giving money to some charlatan preacher. Being enriched in every good thing to all boundiness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. Galatians 6. Verse 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Now, he's using the seed thing here to show that like begets like. If you sow tomato seeds, you don't get radishes. Nor do you get poison ivy. You see? You sow radish seeds, you get radishes. But he uses the seed analogy here. Whatever you put in the ground, that's what comes back to you in the form of fruit. But he ties it in with God not being mocked. God is not mocked. I hear these charlatans on TV quote this scripture over and over and over and over again with reference to you sending them their money. What are they doing? They are mocking God. These people want $18 million for a jet. For what? Who, pray tell, on this God's earth needs Jesse Duplantis to fly to their hometown and tell them about his mansion in heaven? This is such foolish nonsense. It's despicable. It's also despicable. Not quite sure how you pronounce that. I think it's despicable rather than despicable. But anyway, y'all know what I mean. Okay. God is not mocked. For whatever you sow, man sow, that shall he also reap. For he that sows to his flesh shall reap corruption. What is the whole idea behind the seed sowing propaganda? Send me your money, God will make you rich. God will heal you. God will heal your children. God will make your marriage happy. God will give you wealth, and God will give you a better job. Flesh, flesh, flesh. If you sow to the flesh, you'll reap corruption. What are these ministers telling you to do? Sow to the flesh. Do they want your spiritual prayers or do they want your money? They want your money. That's flesh. And both they and those who send it with the idea of getting rich or getting this tenfold back are going to reap corruption. People have told me, well, but if people do it sincerely, you can't sincerely give money to these people. You can be deceived and do it. But God does not bless you for sinning through deception. Show me the verse. Show me the verse where God says, if you sin, but if you sin through ignorance, I will bless your sin. Show me the scripture. There is no such scripture. You sow to the flesh, and that's the whole idea. For he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life aeonian. But you don't sow to the Spirit by giving money to a lying hypocrite, a false prophet, to a heretic. That's not sowing to the Spirit. The word offering is found in the Scriptures over 500 times. Boy, I tell you, that e-sword is a blessing. It is fine stuff. It would have taken you years to find, you know, back in the old days. Anyway, over 500 times you can find the word offering. The phrase seed offering is nowhere to be found in the scriptures. Not even in the Holy Bibles. There's no such thing. They talk of the seed offering. There's no such thing as a seed offering. And especially in the form of money to a heretic. There's just no such thing. It's all a scam. It's all a lie. They don't tell these people, you know, you'll feel better toward God if you give me your money. You'll feel like you're doing some good and so on. No. You'll get it back. Tenfold, a hundredfold, you know. And it doesn't happen. And some people are just too embarrassed to admit they're foolish. So they'll defend it even though it doesn't work. All right, in conclusion, what about the argument, it's not my problem what they do with the money after I sold my seed offering? Now, I got a lot of emails along that line. Some of them even tell me they know that they abuse a lot of the money. But they say, that's not my problem. That's their problem. God will judge them. I did my part. Here's what your part is if you do that. 2 Chronicles 19 verse 2. Second half of the verse. Should you help the ungodly and love, bestow love, be friendly, them that hate the Lord? That's a question mark. Should you do that? Let me read it from the... Let me read the whole thing. 2 Chronicles 19:2. 2 Chronicles 19 and verse 2. And Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, my eyes are not good anymore, I'm going to have to get reading glasses. Jehoshaphat, should you help the ungodly and love them that hate God? Should you? If you do, if they abuse your money or use it for wine, woman, and song or jets or booze or crack cocaine or whatever, that's their problem. Is it? Is it really? See what the rest of this says. Should you help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon you from before the Lord. Huh? What about them apples? You want to have the wrath, anger, indignation of God Almighty come down on you? Support these lying charlatans, these fakes, these heretics, these blasphemers. Support them with your love offerings and your seed offerings. Of course, every one of them would say, I twisted and perverted the scriptures. I don't think so. I'm willing to go to my judgment seat, or, you know, take my place as a judge right now. Right here as I sit. I'm ready with what I taught here today. I feel good about it. I know the scriptures back me with what I said. I know that all of this modern televangelism is just a bunch of huckstering. Now, are there some churches that don't do that? Yes, there are a lot of churches that don't operate like that. But quite frankly, a lot of them is just lack of opportunity. If they had the wherewithal to bring the money in, don't kid yourself. You know, it's very tempting. And if you're not spiritually converted, you will just fall victim. I mean, you just will. So, you know, we need to take these things to heart. It's so easy to think that, oh, well, you know, these people are just kind of deceived. No, 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 no. No, no, no. These people know what they're doing. When they say, I want... How much salary do you want per year, Joyce? I want 900,000. And a $2 million mansion. And a $10 million jet. And a $500,000 summer home. And another $790,000 to just use as little perks throughout the year whenever I need something. Are you crazy? These ministries are obscene. They're spiritual pornography. And we need to be aware of it. I think most of us are. Just reinforce it for some of the people on the that come to our site. Okay?